flowers are blooming, the grass is growing, and it's time to chop the weeds. Thanks to our sponsors at Manscaped, you can trim those holes safely and efficiently. I'm talking about ball trimmers, y'all. Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, have an exclusive offer for the Thomas Island audience. If you use our code, TAMA, and you'll get 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Join the 2 million men who trust Manscaped. They're here to make sure your balls are trimmed and smelling nice. After all, it's time for some spring cleaning. Manscaped has all the tools to get you spring ready. Have you heard about the Weed Whacker? It's a nose and ear hair trimmer that provides proprietary skin-safe technology which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. There's no more gross nose hairs flying off into the wind. Plus, the premium Manscaped Weed Whacker uses a 9,000 RPM motor and a 360-degree rotary dual-blade system. Manscaped is making it easier than ever to whack your weeds and also to make sure that you have the most confidence while also providing hygiene. Speaking of incredible hygiene, Manscaped has formulations to keep you fresh and ready for everything that comes your way all day. The Crop Preserver is an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. It's starting to get hot outside, and this is crucial for your balls to stop sticking to your leg. I use it. It's great, especially as the summertime gets swampier. If you go to manscaped.com right now and use the code TAMA, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. That's right, use the code TAMA for free shipping and 20% off at manscaped.com. Manscaped, shave your balls.
Guys, thank you very much for joining us here on Thomas Island. We're back at it again. Ross, man, good brother Ross Berman here with us, co-hosting. We are going to have a nice discussion here today about the Elite Era. Just to kind of tie, you know, keep moving down the timeline here of Bullet Club history, Tama Tonga history, anything that has to do with wrestling and Bullet Club and Tama Tonga. This is all part of it right now. So, guys, Ross,
yep.
You good with that? We good with the phenomenal. Well, we did the phenomenal Ooh. Era. You're good with the Elite Era?
I'm very good with the Elite Era. I've been kind of champing at the bit for this one because in our conversations, I always get the vibe this era lit a bit of a fire under you. Not that there wasn't already a fire there, but I like just the way you talk about how the Elite came in. We'll get to that as this goes in. But you've always dropped these little nuggets where it sounds like this is where you decided to take over. This is where you decided that if Bullet Club is going to be your thing, it's going to be your thing. So I want to start with word association like we do when we got to do one of these big eras. What comes to mind when you think of the Elite Era? What's like the first word that pops into your mind?
I got a word, but I'm trying to.
That's okay. Talk your way to it. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
See that the Elite Era really, I would say the birth of me trying to figure out what it is truly. Hold on. Let me back this up.
Yeah.
Ooh, man. Damn. Okay. We diving right into that. I like that.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. Deep end, baby. Cannonball.
Yeah. Yeah. No, when I think the Elite Era, the obvious is what I've been showing up. It was a time of defining who I was, defining what Bullet Club really meant. And, I want to say this, but I want to say it right. I say the birth of me.
Ooh, I like that. The birth of you, the birth of this Tama that I'm talking to right now.
Yeah.
I like that. I like now let's start at the beginning of the Elite kind of taking over New Japan. Cause we've talked about them coming in when we talked about Phenomenal Era, how Kenny and the Bucks, they were making big waves in America. Kenny had obviously been very good to the country of Japan and New Japan itself. And so they brought him in, but up until about 2016, Bullet Club had a very specific, how do I put this? It had a hierarchy. When Prince Devitt was in charge, Devitt would always go to Carl Anderson as his like consigliere, as his right hand, as his his tactician. And then when AJ Styles took over, it was the same. Styles was kind of going to Anderson. Anderson was still following that role, even though Bullet Club has always been somewhat leaderless during the Phenomenal era. Yeah. Anderson was always the chief of staff, always the consigliere. Right. Now that AJ Styles and Anderson are leaving, are you expecting to take over that role, being the you and Fale are the two founding members left? Yes, Kenny Omega is and the Bucks are the ones that sort of kick AJ Styles out in the ring. Mm-hmm. But backstage, as the sea change is happening, are you expecting to kind of to become the consigliere to Omega as he's taking over the Bullet Club?
Ooh. And this is the honest truth here. I didn't know.
Okay.
I didn't know because I wasn't really sure if I was re-signing with them.
Okay. Yeah, and you've talked about this.
Yeah.
And Impact had shown interest. WWE had shown a lot of interest, but then New Japan promises to bring in Tongaloa, and you finally get under a firm contract. So now you're more dealing with the change in contract status than the change in Bullet Club, is what you're saying?
Yeah. Well, man. Oh boy. I'm trying to think back here.
Okay.
Now at the time when they kicked out AJ and they put, January 5th, 2016, it was the day after Wrestle Kingdom.
Yep.
And we could see what was happening after the match. Kenny and the Bucks jumped AJ and also Carl Anderson and Gallows was there. Mm-hmm. Fale and I weren't in it. So, but we could see from backstage who's going to be that front man. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think anything at that time. I didn't know what my role was going to be. I didn't know there were so many changes happening. I was thinking about leaving with Gallows and them. And so I didn't really know until the contract was signed
with
New Japan. That's when I really took in and started to put myself in that role of Carl Anderson.
Gotcha. And so that's when you start really taking an active – because Bullet Club, you always have an active role in Bullet Club, but now you're having an active, you're taking a more active approach to everything. Now that you have a little bit of the contract safety, you can start to focus on yourself because you don't have to worry about whether or not New Japan is going to bring you back the next tour. Yes, it was always kind of assured, but now it's now it's ironclad. Now it's in writing.
Yeah.
Since you're trying to figure yourself out, who did you see yourself as at that time? Who did you start to think you could become now that you had this freedom?
I see before that I was always team playing.
Mm-hmm.
Always trying to figure out what was best for the team, always trying to have the guys take pictures, videos, anything to promote ourselves on social media. So
gotcha.
I always looked at myself as a guy that could go around and fill roles to push the product forward, mm-hmm. which was Bullet Club. And so I didn't really think that didn't change to me. So I was just going to amp that position up, it wasn't no position. I didn't really understand Carl Anderson's role until later when I realized what things were happening. The Elite coming forward and really making their presence known. I tried to, there was a split inside the group, you know, why this, why that, you know? So I was trying to be, you know, Carl Anderson always was trying to mediate, always keep things calm. So I was trying to be that at the beginning, you know, trying to, I don't know if any of this makes sense right now. I feel like
It does, and that's why I kind of want to go deeper on when did you start to feel that there was this split between the Elite and Bullet Club, because it feels like as the Elite branding grows, the Bullet Club branding is starting to become like a parenthesis. And what was kind of the point where you started to realize that was going to be an issue, or that it was even happening?
The the times that Kenny would have his matches, he would only take the Bucks.
Okay.
And so I saw that, but it was always, we would all go as a group.
I was going to say, when AJ Styles was defending the title, it's literally, he had an army behind him. You had flags, you had, you had everything short of a drummer, which maybe you should have at some point. And so now it's gone from this army to this kind of, it's a private club. I mean, they literally call themselves the Elite. They're like the Elite Lounge at the airport.
Uh-huh.
Where it's, you know, and were you the only one sort of starting to notice that, or was like Fale, Takahashi, some of the others?
I think I was the last one.
Oh, really?
I was pretty much the last one, because I was always in that mindset. Come on, guys, we're a team. Yep. We're all gonna, let's do it together. Always trying to play as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was the last one, I think. I'm pretty sure I was the last one.
Did anyone try and like clue you? Did like Fale ever be like, man, I don't know about this?
No, they were. They did. They would clue us in. But I was like, nah, man, let's just, you know, come on. It'll be all right. You know, I'm not trying to go. I didn't want to think like that.
Okay.
I was always trying to stay the path, stay the course. We're a team. Let's keep moving. And I think I just kind of was, how do you say? It's happening.
Yeah, you're in the eye of the hurricane. You can't actually see. It feels calm.
Yeah, and I mean, I just decided to block that out. That maybe this isn't it. What was happening? And you know, let me see if I can still keep things chill, calm. You know, maybe there's other plans that we don't know about. Let's just keep the peace.
And was that when you started to kind of take that Carl Anderson role, is when you're like, someone needs to keep the peace. Someone needs to keep these two, the schism from actually forming. And so it was more of a peacekeeper role.
Yeah.
That's what you're trying to play between the Bullet Club and the Elite. And so.
But see, here's the thing.
Okay.
Here's the thing, that things were happening. There, guys were getting brought into Bullet Club without us even knowing or hearing about it. You know?
Okay.
They guys from ROH. It kind of turned. There was just so much happening so fast in America.
Mm-hmm.
A Bullet Club was evolving quicker there than it was in Japan. So the Bucks and them only came a few times. We were with Kenny all the time.
Yeah,
you know, out there in Japan. But the other guys were in ROH, and they knew. Mm-hmm. They knew what was happening. They did their own thing. Once New Japan gave them the freedom to do what they want with Bullet Club, they kind of did.
I was going to say, because that's when you have the era where, like, in ROH is where all of the Bullet Club, so to speak, story progression happens. That's where you have Adam Cole fighting with Kenny Omega over who's the leader. That's where Cody gets brought in the first place to Bullet Club. Mm-hmm. Did you feel like New Japan management was happy with this, because it's creating brand awareness, and so did it really seem to phase them?
I don't know. I think they just, because everything was so new, they were kind of like, let's see what happens. Okay. You know, and the way I took it was, it's a foreign stable, so I mean, you know, they could let's see what happens. Mm-hmm. It's like a test go. So I'm in Japan with Kenny, Fale, Yujiro, and we're going at a pace of New Japan storyline telling, which is slow and steady there. But in America was a whole different.
It's madness. Yeah. Cause you got Hangman Page joins. It's there. I remember there was this period where it felt like Bullet Club was forming its own little militia in America. And it was sort of, it sort of felt like its own. I think that's when Bullet Club first starts to feel like its own separate thing outside of ROH, outside of New Japan, as this actual as this brand and not just a faction.
What did you think of that? How as a fan, as a journalist, wrestling journalist, what were you seeing? And was that, do you think that was did it help Bullet Club?
Well, it depends, because like to me, I was confused by North American Bullet Club, because at that time, it was a very, how do I put this? It was a very politically charged time in America.
Yeah.
And you have this faction called Bullet Club introducing Hangman Page, practically hanging people in the middle of their matches. And it just became this, it made you uncomfortable. And to a degree, I was like, well, they're bad guys, so it's supposed to make you uncomfortable. But they weren't treated like bad guys in America. They were treated as this cool insurgency. And so it made me very wary for a long time. In fact, until the firing squad, I was very leery of Bullet Club and what does Bullet Club stand for.
Right.
Just because of the mixed messaging you were getting between Japan and America, and the messaging in America was a little different. That's all. Right. That's the best way to put it. And it you could feel the kind of idealistic clash already kind of forming. Yeah. But that was my, that was my personal look on it. It did numbers. I mean, at that point when Bullet Club was in ROH, you can make the argument ROH was taking that second or third spot in North America simply because they had this juggernaut. Like it really felt like Bullet Club was carrying two companies on their shoulders. How did it feel on the inside? Because this is me on the outside, just kind of watching this thing become bigger than anything that it had either come before it or from anything that had spawned it, you know?
Well, see, that's the you hit it there. There was two sides. We were about to clash. We could see the difference. In Japan, we're this rogue faction that don't follow the rules, but there was still this code. There was still this structure you did, but we were still bad guys. And in America, it was a rogue faction, but they really, it was almost like outlaws, just anything goes. And I realized it was okay. I remember when Hangman brought in to start lynching people and we're like,
I'm glad you, cause that was like when they first show up, it's guys like Jay Lethal, Colt Cabana. Yeah. There's a certain milieu that they're putting this rope around that when Hangman Page finally stopped using that, it was again a thing that made me go, okay, I can breathe a little easier about this product.
Right. We were kind of, I was like, okay, all right, let's see what happens. And let's see what's happened next. But then they brought in Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian and the Bears. Now great wrestlers. Yeah. They brought in the Teddy Bear or whatnot. And I was like, oh, it's almost like there's no laws, there's no rules. They're playing with it now.
I think you hit it on the head when you said in Japan there was a code. Yeah. In Japan it's the mafia. In America it's a militia that's just here to burn everything down. You know, because that's what they kind of they felt like, we're here to take over ROH, we're here to take over New Japan. It was this invading force, whereas as the original Bullet Club I always felt was more mafia or IRA or like this kind of people's army.
Yeah.
Like when you we'll get to it, but when you take it over, it goes back to that people's army vibe again. But we're still talking Kenny, we're still talking the Bucks, and so now that you start to realize that there is essentially two Bullet Clubs, is your first instinct that hey, we need to unify, or is your first instinct, well, there might be money here?
I was just trying to keep the peace.
Yeah.
Unify. And, you know, maybe I was looking to Kenny for leadership.
Okay.
I was looking to Kenny to take that charge. And maybe that, you know, give us a direction to go. And it just wasn't coming from him. He'd rather give direction to his boys. And that's, I was trying to, come on, Kenny, you know, there's more of us. There's not just the Bucks, but then other guys are coming from ROH, and I could see now the divide, and the guys are in Japan, we're just kind of chopped liver. Now,
But I gotta ask though, had Kenny and the Bucks always been that way? Because like they've known each other since like 2008. They are their own little clique. Right. Were they always that clicky before they took over, or is it Kenny gets put in charge and they close ranks? They just closed ranks.
Yeah. Okay. Once Kenny was put in charge, they closed ranks. And that's when it happened. It wasn't always like that. Mm-hmm. Before that, you know, Ken was just the team.
Yeah.
There was a team.
The core. Got you.
Right. Yeah. And then once he took over, you could see, you know, the doors closing and they were trying to create their own little group. But I tried to be in the middle and try to have an understanding of what was happening. And I could understand that Kenny wanted to build his own legacy, his own, because we built Bullet Club. We brought him in. But when we built Bullet Club, we were thinking us as a foreigner group, stable, we can all, let's move on up. But when Kenny came, he saw it from, I would say, legacy standpoint, you know, and he wanted to create his own thing. Now, New Japan wasn't letting that happen. You know, office or the bosses wasn't letting that happen. So I think he just saw it as, all right, then I'll just start here. I'll do it with my own little, you know, my own goons and roll from there.
So it wasn't just a response to Bullet Club. It was the office kind of driving him. Because when he takes over Bullet Club, is he seen as the guy that's going to, you know, eventually go on to face Okada in a series? Was it that plan already, or was it just, here's your new leader? We think he's going to do some things.
Here's your new leader.
Okay.
We're going to push. Look, Kenny's capable.
Oh yeah, no, and that's why I don't want to make it about Kenny's ability, because Kenny's amazing, there is a difference between Kenny Omega taking over Bullet Club and the Kenny Omega that we kind of grow to know as like the first North American face of New Japan. Uh-huh. And so that wasn't the intent. It was just to give Kenny and Bullet Club something to do, or was it to help in that expansion plan?
It covered a lot of areas. I think the expansion is part of it.
Okay.
Because they moved him straight from juniors to heavyweight.
Mm-hmm.
Just like that. And so when drastic moves are done like that, you know, they're heavily.
Something's. Yeah. Okay. No, and that's why I wanted to, because if Kenny's already kind of starting to get the rocket tied to him, they may not be fueling yet, but they're building that rocket. Is that's where the peacekeeping thing comes, or is it just kind of, we got to keep this thing together?
It wasn't like I just like, okay, I gotta keep the peace. It was
just a gradual
deal for me, and that's how I've always been. When Bullet Club started, was always trying to keep the peace. Let's work together and we'll keep moving forward. So when the transition to Kenny happened, I was just keeping that same mentality and moving forward and trying to keep, you know, not to rock the boat.
Mm-hmm. What's the moment then that changes that? What makes you go, I don't think they don't want to get along?
No, it took time. It takes time for me. I can see things happen, but I'm not going to make a move. I wait until things build up. And, It took me a couple of years to really, you know, collecting before I turn around and go slapping somebody. But I always try to keep the peace until that line, you can't anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, things I've been building from guys coming in, the angles that was done between Adam Cole and also Cody Rhodes, who's the leader.
Yeah.
And I thought to myself at the beginning of that, now when Cody came in from WWE and they were, I just didn't know what the hype was. What's the hype?
Okay.
And to have that, Bullet Club is fine. We kind of just sat back. We were at that point already that we just kind of sat back and watched what was happening. and just waited for our time to make our insert. Because everything already built up to that point. But there were, you know, they also had their Super Click. They called it Adam Cole, Young Bucks.
Literally the Young Bucks had a name for whoever they teamed with Kenny. They were the Elite. With Adam Cole, they were the Super Click. With Hangman Page, they were the Hung Bucks. They had a name and a shirt for every trio. But it was always the Bucks.
The Bucks are geniuses, man. I love, you know, I think they're great family guys, and they're smart in this business. They always have this what's it called? You know, they're killing the business. They're going against the grain.
Yeah,
they are a go against the grain kind of guys, and nobody's going to tell them no. Nobody's going to stop them from achieving and moving forward. And I love that about them. And the Bucks, I think they just were just, the one that I look at that was Kenny, because he was the front man.
And
whatever he dictated, he tried to, I know it was him who wanted his own little clique. I can look at it like, F that guy, or you can look at it, man, the guy wanted to build his own legacy. I mean, I want to build my own legacy too, but so.
It's an interesting time, because not only is Kenny building his legacy, but your brother is now joining the company. Tongaloa comes in October of 2016, right as all of this is beginning. And so I almost feel like Kenny and the Elite open Bullet Club up to the point where there can be these subgroups. Because once the Elite forms, then all right, well, cool. Well, now G.O.D. has their thing, and they have Fale, and they have Yujiro, and even Yujiro and Chase Owens. You would start to see these kind of cliques within cliques start to form, and so it all kind of trickled. Do you think it all kind of just trickled down from the top because they had this clique at the top? Yeah. Everyone's starting to look out for themselves when it was very a team.
You called it. That's it. Everybody started to look after themselves once that Elite clique, clique formed. And I was still, that's how I think maybe blinded I was or chose to be blind.
It's you're now in a point where you've got some contract security, you've got literal family in there with you. And so even if things aren't going perfect with Bullet Club, things are going well enough with Tama, it sounds like, that you can make it work. You know what I mean? Because you've got these outlets, even if Kenny and the Bucks are kind of putting their foot on Bullet Club.
But I never looked at myself like that. Never looked at I was well off. I was doing well. All I thought about was, okay, we got a new squad. I feel kind of my focus was still on Bullet Club. My focus was pure on Bullet Club and how to build that and how to move forward as a group. And my brother coming, I just thought, all right, more guys help the cause.
And do you think that kind of, because you're the one essentially keeping the Bullet Club brand alive, because like the Elite have their brand, and yes, it's tied to Bullet Club, but you're the one that's still repping Bullet Club. You're the one that's still, this is a thing. We have to remember that the Elite is part of a thing. And so do you think that's what kind of also helps wake you up, is now you're essentially leading Bullet Club while the Elite claim to, you know, they're the face, and you're actually, do you feel like you were actually starting to play that Michael Jordan role, so to speak?
maybe, you know, it took me a very long time, and I feel like when do we make that split from we caused a definite split between Bullet Club when we jumped?
That would have been 2018. Yep, 2018.
So when the Elite and them started in 2016, right?
Yep.
From 16, 2 years. Two years of that was just trying to keep things chill, and I didn't look at myself as a leader of a clique or a side. I was just trying to still promote the club on social media, on whatever, everything that I did wore Bullet Club everywhere, and trying to push the brand. It was a lot of fuckery going on in those 2 years.
Okay. keep going. Like, because you say fuckery, that could mean anything. What were some of the things that maybe...
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get one-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The storylines in ROH, the chaos that was going on in Bullet Club,
it's the membership thing. It's this idea that all of a sudden you don't even know who's in Bullet Club because one week Kazarian's in it, and the next week it turns out Kazarian was just trying to get one over. And now you've got a mascot in Barry the Business Bear that you never agreed to, and so did it kind of feel like this. I don't want to call the Elite a corporate entity, but this almost like it's a profiteering kind of thing where they came into Bullet Club and all of the sudden it's their thing. Cody Rhodes is wearing it I remember he had contact lenses, I think, at one point that had like the gun logo in it or something.
Yeah.
And so how did that kind of almost profiteering kind of grate you guys, especially while Kenny's kind of yelling about changing the world and how he's going to, you know, bring great change to New Japan. Was that where you were kind of starting to sour?
I think so. Just kind of this, we were losing grip, all that during those 3 years, we were losing grip on the direction we were heading.
Okay.
What Bullet Club was and what are we now? What is it? And so our front man, Kenny Omega, like living a double life inside kind of the clique and Bullet Club. It was almost like he had no choice, because when he was with us in Japan, he had to be with us.
Yeah.
You know, he didn't have his buddies there. So he was leading us through all these matches. It was like a double life.
Yeah.
New Japan storyline. We were there. Right.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole tour. So it was confusing.
Because then you have like Ring of Honor is doing entire pay-per-views around Cody versus Kenny.
Yeah.
This giant feud that eventually is almost forced into New Japan. Like, even as a fan, it felt like this was ROH being forced into the New Japan product when you had this Kenny versus Cody ROH kind of transfer over. So
That's where ROH was making their money. Once they start selling Bullet Club merch, they were making a killing. And then, so they were just going to follow them where the money was going, and the money was leading them.
But did you kind of feel like the money wasn't necessarily going, it wasn't as evenly distributed as it may have been in the early days? Cause like it almost feels like what Kenny and Cody and the Bucks and what just the Ring of Honor Bullet Club is like a legitimized version of what you were doing when you're bootlegging t-shirts. And it's sort of like, I'm just trying to do my own thing. And then you eventually got pulled in, you had to be reprimanded. So, but these guys are kind of, they're allowed to do it freely. They're allowed to co-opt it.
And they made their money the way they did it. And, I don't think they made it off Bullet Club. I think they made it off Elite. And so this was just another way. Remember, the problem was we weren't getting royalties.
Okay.
We weren't getting royalties from Bullet Club merch being sold. New Japan was making a killing off that. So that takes me to this now. Now, that's probably why Kenny and them created the Elite, because now they own everything. And they're pushing their own stuff. So that could, I mean, that can be my position to have an understanding for mm-hmm. them and why they did what they did. You know, so, geez, we're coming to revelation on a lot of these.
I was about to say this is a good episode. This is good listening. This is good talking, Tama. So when you take over Bullet Club, when you attack Kenny and the Bucks in San Francisco, what is the kind of lead up to that? Where do you really see the start of that? Of all of this stuff that's going on behind the scenes with Bullet Club, not really with this almost sort of civil war, what is it that finally pushes that onto the screen? Was it just the Elite finally being something where you can take them off of your shoulders and stand slightly eye to eye, or was it just the right time?
I think it was just the right time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just the right time. Everything had just been building, and mm-hmm. that just built to the right time. And I mean, you know, they had their all their contracts was coming to an end that mm-hmm. year, right? End of that year. So 2018 altogether was just, I think, here's what I think. Mm-hmm. I think New Japan and ROH saw 2018 as, oh, shoot, these guys might leave.
Okay.
These guys have made themselves huge on the Bullet Club back mm-hmm. while still creating their own deal, right? The Elite. And now mm-hmm. they might cash in at the end here and leave us stranded, mm-hmm. leave us in the same position like the first go around with Shinsuke and Karl Anderson.
And this time you could almost, it's a perfect parallel, because when AJ Styles, Karl Anderson, Luke Gallows, and Shinsuke leave is the exact year they launched New Japan World. It's the first year that New Japan is like, we've got a streaming service, we're ready to go. I remember, because I subscribed in time for that Wrestle Kingdom, and then like the day after I subscribed, it starts breaking. Oh yeah, Styles is going to leave, Gallows is going to leave, Anderson's going to leave. And so now 2018, you have the first real push of what will eventually become New Japan of America, of this Western expansion. Omega and the Bucks are central to that. I mean, so much of that is built around the ROH New Japan relationship, that it really is. They don't want to be in a position where they're without these guys. And obviously AEW's, it's not even an idea yet. It's still kind of off in the future. And so it's literally you guys saying, if we don't, their contracts could expire and we never get this storyline. And so now is the time. We have to do it while we're waiting to find out what they're doing.
Yeah. You see what happened with both companies mm-hmm. is that Bullet Club just kind of let it wild, wild west it, you know, mm-hmm. just send it. Let's see what happens. So ROH took it, ran with it, made a killing. Mm-hmm. And so everything just kind of got dispersed, and New Japan never had control, and no way of controlling, of knowing how to control it. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's something they're trying to come into a market, and they sent out Bullet Club as a tester to mm-hmm. run with things, and they kind of turned around and bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
You know, well, yes and no, because it got exposure, you know?
Yeah. Well, I don't know if we've really seen it fully bite them in the ass. I feel like there is this point where Bullet Club becomes bigger than any company. Let's put it that way.
But here's the thing. Here's where mm-hmm. I think it came back, because they used, so Bucks and them were very smart. The Elite were very smart. They created a brand inside of a brand, and knowing that Kenny was the front man, mm-hmm. They're going to push him. And so Kenny and the Bucks grew the Elite. They used Cody, came in. They had the perfect storm recipe, just adding it in. Mm-hmm. And once they got big enough using the Bullet Club platform, mm-hmm. right, they were gonna jump. Mm-hmm. ROH banked too much money on them that they created storylines around them. So when they left, they fell flat on their face.
Yep.
Right? New Japan banked everything on Kenny. But then once they realized what they were doing, they started to pull back. Mm-hmm. They pulled back. And that's the cause. That's where 2018 was the cause of the split. Because if they had kept feeding the machine.
Yep.
I mean. So, you know, now here's the thing. Here's what I mean. It came back and bit them in the ass. Because now they built this monster, AEW.
Yep. They almost... And the New Japan relationship with AEW, it's like Schrodinger's cat. It exists when it exists, and otherwise it's the forbidden door. Mm-hmm. And so I can see what you're saying. You feel like that what really bit them on the ass is now they don't know if they should or not, or if having that other out there, having that.
So they helped build the Elite.
Mm-hmm.
All right, enough to where. They took when they left, the Elite left, mm-hmm. viewership of New Japan product dipped a lot.
Okay.
And not only that, they created an American promotion mm-hmm. to take over TV. What they were trying to come over and do, now they run the market, and they got New Japan, what are they doing in America now? not what they were doing before. So now this is where, this is what happens.
Okay.
Ooh, does that make any sense?
It makes total sense, because I also want to bring up, because 2018 is such a weird year for New Japan, because you have this start at the beginning of the year with the Golden Lovers reuniting, which is a whole other, how did it kind of feel to have all of this membership kind of confusion for years, and then 2018, all of a sudden, Kota Ibushi is now this star side character in whatever is going on with Bull. Did that kind of grate a little bit now that the tag team scene and
once we split, I was just like, okay, now we were in control of what we were trying, the image that we were trying to push forward. And so the split, all we wanted was just control of what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And who we bring in, what's our message, what image we're trying to push forward. So after that split, we just concentrated on our group, what we can do, and the Elite and all them with Ibushi. I was happy for Ibushi to come into the company. I think he's a phenomenal talent,
Ibushi didn't just deal with Omega. He had this interesting partnership with Chase Owens that kind of developed through him being mm-hmm. this sort of Bullet Club adjacent character. And so when you finally kick Kenny and Cody and the Elite to do their own thing, how do I put this? Where do you see the team going from there? Because was it very much now that the Elite, because once you kick out the Elite, that's when you start seeing stuff like All In pops up and the road to All Elite Wrestling starts.
Yeah. Once we kicked them out, I was fine.
Okay.
I was like, okay.
No, but what I'm trying to say is, was there ever any, was when you start hearing whisperings of this thing that becomes All Elite Wrestling, even before when it's just All In, or it's just this mm-hmm. nebulous talks that Cody and Kenny are having, what is the feeling within Bullet Club? Is there any talk of Bullet Club going to All Elite, or is it just them saying, no, now that the Elite's gone, we got to focus on New Japan. We got to focus on where we came from.
Yeah, no, the attention was coming back to New Japan. That was the thing then, mm-hmm. because when the Elite came up, their mm-hmm. storylines just kind of was within themselves.
Yep. Yeah, because it was always those. It was Kenny, Cody, sometimes the Bucks. And usually it was about where their loyalties would lie. Yeah. But it even got to the point where they were having a triple threat match for the IWGP Championship.
Yeah. Right.
Where did you start to feel like maybe the Elite were trying to Americanize New Japan too much, or was it?
That's definitely it. And
but was it just you that, or was it, did others in New Japan or just others in Bullet Club start to realize like this isn't, because like you and Fale, you brought up through the dojo, it was like the whole group was just sort of like, what the hell is this? Okay.
Oh, yeah. Well, when we started to see that, you could tell there was an easiness mm-hmm. behind the scenes about the product, the New Japan product. And it was our identity mm-hmm. Was starting to be very similar to an American mm-hmm. identity. And you could feel that. See, the fight between Bullet Club wasn't just, it was a bigger picture there,
mm-hmm.
because Bullet Club was helping put things in line for just for New Japan altogether. It was the good guys versus the bad guys, and the bad guys were Bullet Club and the good guys were the New Japan team.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a straight path we were doing and we're building on.
Yep.
And but once the Elite start happening thing, it was just the storylines, everything kind of concentrated inside Elite, and it kind of left what's the deal with our Bullet Club, not Bullet Club, New Japan good guys, you know?
Yeah, well, and it's not just Bullet Club that suffers when you have Kenny and Cody and Kota and all of those guys dominating. LIJ is all of a sudden not as in as many main events. Right. Chaos is all of a sudden not mm-hmm. as it ripples across to all of the did that kind so that you're saying that kind of united the other factions as well, where it's sort of like they start to realize like we need to retain our identity, because this is why I'll always refer to Firing Squad as like the people's army. You literally saw these profiteers building something for themselves, like not even for Bullet Club, not for New Japan, for them.
Yeah.
And so you kind of come in there like Che Guevara, like any of the kind of famous leaders, and Michael Collins, any of those famous leaders that came in and kind of toppled an empire, in this case, a wannabe empire. They wanted to build that thing. And so
the mindset of New Japan. Sorry to cut you off.
Absolutely.
The mindset of New Japan is all of us together.
Mm-hmm.
as a whole, and we're working together to move our product up, our guys up, everybody. It's a team thing.
So do you think that what started with Bullet Club, because you've even said this in some of our happy hour chats, but when Bullet Club starts, they start as us, not me, in a time when New Japan doesn't really have factions. They'll have some tag teams, but they don't have, it's all me.
Yeah.
And so when Bullet Club has to then fight for that identity, fight for the idea that they are us, not me, and they have to kind of banish the Elite. Is that what kind of makes all of these factions that popped up after Bullet Club also start to take that mindset? Is that, do you think that's what kind of made New Japan realize if we're going to survive, we can't rely on guys like Kenny Omega. We have to rely on us. We have to rely on New Japan.
See, now I always believed that Bullet Club was setting the example and moving forward. I don't think a lot of people saw that until the whole split between us. And then we were bringing attention back to New Japan while the other group kept it to themselves, so now they could see what we were trying to do. They could see there is two teams inside Bullet Club. There's the Elite and there's Bullet Club. And when I say they, I'm talking about the company and everybody.
Yep.
And so where were we?
We were talking about you guys kicking out the Elite and Bullet Club kind of refocusing on itself. I don't want to get too deep into the refocus because I feel like that bleeds right into Jay White and Gato and the Switchblade era starting up. What I really want to talk about is, do you think, how do I put this? Do you think that Bullet Club kind of getting rid of the Elite is the way that New Japan focuses on a team mindset? Do you think it kind of levels that top? Because like, the best way to put it, when Bullet Club wins the heavyweight title, a lot of other guys win gold. When Chaos wins the heavyweight title, a lot of guys win gold. And so it feels like the definition of success has changed in New Japan over the past few years. It feels like it has become less about that top spot and more about the top team being on. In a way, UFC is like that. You want to be in the best fight camp. You want to be in the best team. Soccer, basketball, they're all these team sports. Do you think that New Japan could someday become like a team sport? Could become,
I mean, you hear me talking about it on the happy hours. It's already. I believe that. I think that, and it's changing. It's going to change wrestling all around because I think it'll involve it's more relatable to people. It's a together thing, you know, team thing. And I've been preaching that on the happy hours, you know, the team sports, you know, it brings everybody together.
You're seeing a real thirst for team sports now in like the way the pandemic has kind of hit the world. They want that communal feeling again. Wrestling has tried to provide it, and in some cases has, but people want MLB, they want NBA, they want those groups. And like, do you think that wrestling, if you took a group like New Japan or like Stardom, where it's already so many teams, even the people not on a team or on their own kind of team, do you think wrestling could fill that space in 2020 and beyond, where it becomes a team sport, where it becomes
something bigger? Oh yeah, 100%. I believe that, and I think we're on our way.
I want to tie a bow on the Elite era, do you feel like there's money in GOD in All Elite Wrestling? Do you think there is a way that relationship could someday work?
Oh yeah, 100%.
GOD and AEW, or even New Japan and AEW, do you feel like that bridge is somehow that bridge can be rebuilt if or when?
I think the sooner the better, because the longer we get away from it, it'll start to wither away the need for it. I think so. As time stretches, because everybody wanted the Civil War at the very beginning, but now it's time. We're now what, 2 years after that?
It's been two years. Yeah. The next month, I believe.
Yeah, and we didn't really do any kind of close offs or big build up to it. The build up was that. So now we're just kind of descending. You know.
Okay.
So is there a time? Yes, but
it's got to be. It has to happen now. Well, I feel like so many people have wanted that, like a fan, from a fan perspective, AEW and New Japan feel like they should get along, you know, better than it feels like they are. But it also, I understand you've always said that they want to make sure AEW is going to last. They don't want this to be a situation where they're carrying AEW. They want it to establish itself like a CMLL where.
Right.
It has,
we want to know what they're all about.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to say this, and I hope it doesn't get taken the wrong way.
Okay.
So we've been talking about Elite. It was all about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Excuse me. Yep.
Do you think now as a company, do you think they're still like that? If they were that in the past, to grow them to what they are now?
It does. As a casual observer of AEW, it does feel that it's still Cody, Kenny, and the Bucks, and everyone else. Because like even Cody's open challenge feels very, I don't know how to put it. It feels very Cody. Every match he gets he gets a WrestleMania entrance. He fights someone for 10, 15 minutes, and then they go do pyro when they shake their hands. Like it's very grandiose. And it's just it feels like it separates Cody from everyone else, but not in a way of like they're making a star, in a way of like he needs to be treated differently.
Yeah,
that's how it feels.
Yeah, I see. That's what I saw when they were building the whole Elite. It was just them and I see that this is them as a company.
Okay.
And I don't see them, if they want to build stars. Do they know how to build stars? Do they understand that? Because we built stars. Bullet Club has built stars. We have built.
I was gonna say since 2018, Jay White instant star. Because he debuts in 2018, and now he's one of the pillars of the main event scene. Same with trying to think of other big debuts from around that time. But it does feel like.
But let me take you out of this though. I mean stars, we built. Do they know how to build? Like Bullet Club knows how to build another faction, build baby faces, build a team other than ourselves, our opponents. We know how to build. We've done it. We're now 7 year running, and we've been doing it since the jump. We know how. Do they know how to do that?
Okay.
See, that's Do you understand? I'm getting
no, I get on it. No, and I get exactly, because it does go back to your original point of how New Japan, when they make these partnerships, they want to make sure it's going to be something that lasts. Because like CMLL is the oldest wrestling company in the world. It's not just, you know, it's not just the WWE of Mexico. It is older than the history of wrestling.
Right.
And AEW, no matter how good they have done, are not bigger than wrestling. They're not, you know, they are just a wrestling company.
Yeah.
And so... I can understand why, and especially with the history that, you know, of the way they left, why they would be, we need to know something is different. We need to know something has changed since the us versus everyone else days of 20, of the Elite era. Cause that's what it really sounds like. It really does sound like from the jump, it was Kenny, even when you didn't know, even when everyone was playing nice, it was still Kenny and the Bucks versus everyone. It was Kenny and the Bucks versus the world.
Yeah.
They didn't want to change the world. They wanted to beat it.
Right.
And so, and you guys kind of, I feel like in 2018, you guys bring everyone back down to earth and remind them that, hey, we've been here longer than you guys have. We came through this.
Yeah. So it was a learning period. So I can't knock the Elite era. And I always give props, and I've given the Bucks props for it. You know what they've built and what they're capable of doing. Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to make it sound like, you know, this is some cocky thing. Like, I really do feel like it's you reminding them that the world exists. You know what I mean? Because you can get in that bubble, but like when you attack Cody and Kenny. You attack with your dad. You're reminding Cody Rhodes, you may have a legacy, but you're not the only legacy in wrestling. Like there are plenty of people who, you know, who come from families like he does.
Right. And I think it was so, it was me, my brother and my dad. Mm-hmm. And you saw the whole Elite faction get toppled over. And I felt like that was a message to anybody who was listening, you know, that was a message. Mm-hmm. And
no, I noticed it. Like I said, up until y'all take it over, I'm clutching my pearls going, what does this stand for? And you guys are like, this stands for us, for like not some profiteering version of us.
Now, the way the Elite did their thing.
Yep.
And they just believed in their way. Do they see that it's wrong? I don't know. Probably not. And that's okay.
No,
what I saw, that their way was, I didn't see longevity.
Yeah, no, and that's why I sort of use that term profiteer, because like wrestling will always be about making that money.
Yeah,
but it's how you make that money that's important. Yes. And if you're making it on the back of someone else, you either need to compensate them or you need to get the hell off their back.
There's got to be a balance.
Yeah, exactly. Oh. Deep.
Balance. Damn.
Balance. Wow. Well, I feel like that balance is restored. That's where we're at. We're restoring the balance with this talk about the Elite.
I feel so too. well, shoot, Ross, man, that was a nice cut into the Elite and deep dive here. Thank you very much. We'll cut it right here. Everyone, thank you for joining us here on this episode on Tama's Island, the Elite Era. What a time. What a time of growth. What a time of change. Mm-hmm. Not only with myself, but wrestling and everyone that's involved with wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Cheers.
Cheers. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. I said, ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla Tactics. Whoa, you know we bout action. Whoa, you know we not lacking. Whoa, that just not matching. Whoa, jump up on the road, put my feet up in your face. No, we ain't tapping out. What? Y'all ain't but this way. Whoa, Gorilla Tactics. Ain't nobody really than Gorilla. Gorilla Tactics. Ain't nobody really.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.